PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Juice, and this is the Michael Dean Show. My name actually is Michael Dean. I'm that N-I-G-G-A African-American Negro, American citizen. I don't know why I just said all that, but hey, it is what it is. Well, welcome to the show. Joining me today is Mr. Q Storm. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing good. Let's get it going.
All right, all right. Good to hear your voice coming crystal clear. Also joining us, and maybe not so crystal clear, but he's out in the field. Not that field. He's just out there doing his thing live from using the great invention of cell phone technology. Mr. Ant Pooh, how are you, sir?
Man, you're making me sound low budget, but all right.
Now, you out in the streets. I was trying to give you a little street cred, you know. You out there, you out there on the block right now, posted up, but you still doing a podcast, right?
I long since put in work on the block. I'm good. I'm the Don now.
Oh, okay. You're not a corner boy no more.
Hell nah. Call me Marlo.
Okay. Got you. Also joining us is our resident movie reviewer. He has a website called Hill Street Blues, which
views.
Excuse me, showing my age. But you hear him correcting me, as he certainly should. Mr. Sean Hill, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoying this an overcast day in Oak Town, so hopefully it won't be as hot as it has been up here.
All right. And shout out to Big Sexy and Saka. Maybe he will be jumping in here hopefully today. You know, he's doing big things in the lawyer world, so shout out to him. Shout out to our listeners. The last episode was a pretty unique one that we did, and you kind of got to see some behind the scenes and brothers working things out, at least trying to. And I really appreciate some of the feedback that we got. What did you guys think of some of the reactions to the last show? That much. Okay.
Oh, well, I didn't want to speak over anybody.
Fuck them fans. I don't give a fuck about them fans.
It was cool seeing the feedback of the, you know, fans. I hate fans, but the listeners, supporting us and getting behind us. And, as I said in the post, brother's going to work it out. That's what we're going to keep doing.
All right. Q, Ant, anything you want to add on that?
We should invite him into the chat.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, you can do that if you like. But yeah, anyway, that was a very, very good show, and it continues on. The work continues as the journey continues. But going forward, so today breaking, I wanted to have the fellas give their opinions and let's weigh in on this. So of course, today was today is Saturday. This is what, August 20th, and we like to talk about music, and the big music news of today is Mr. Frank Ocean. I know maybe it was like a few years ago. I think it was 2012. His first album had came out. Was it called the Orange album or something like that? Or
Channel Orange,
Planet Orange? What is it? Is that what?
Channel
Orange. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people listen like Mike. You don't know Frank Ocean. I'm not all into it, but I know who he is.
Pause.
Okay. I remember he was like a really big deal in terms critically, and he was like on a lot of award shows and all that sort of stuff. And so he dropped a visual album, what they call it. I believe it was like a few days ago on Apple Music, or, their platform. And I guess it was just this whole video thing, but it was an album somewhat like a Beyonce. But I think his whole thing was like it was just him. Apparently, he's making a staircase or something, and he's just like starts playing different music. And I want to say if it was a live stream or they streamed it or whatever. But then today, he's released a new video for another new song from another new album that he is supposedly dropping this weekend. I guess on Apple as well. And there's a video that goes for it, and the song is called Nikes. And I was like, yeah, let me check this out, see what the young kids is out there doing today. and the video plays, and I'm going to say this, you know, the visuals, a lot of interesting and wild things going on in here. Of course, this is not safe for work, some of the visuals, but, you know, I had to watch it in sort of like the history of music video. You know, I think most of us on the show, we come from the era where the music video was the, well, was very important, and MTV was very important, you know, to the game. And I know a lot of my music came, or being exposed to a lot of music from watching MTV, stuff that I would have never had bought, but I became a fan of, you know, which opened up the palette to sort of listen to different types of stuff. So I was like, let me check out, you know, I know this guy is known to put in, at least he's not like sleepwalking through the shit. You know, he's putting forth effort. So I said, let me check it out. This is a wild video, visually. You know, nude stuff going on, just weird imagery, and the song is kind of weird. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go around. When it first started playing, and he has like the speeded up voice, of course, to me, I was like, oh, man. Kind of throwing, you know, remind me of like the Camille thing from Prince or something. You know, it's very minimalist type beat, but it, you know, it sounds like the music of today. To me, when I hear the music of today, it all sort of has the same sort of cadence to it. To me, like I can, it's something like either do that where they're talking, then they slow it down, walking, and you know what I mean? Like they do that whole thing. So I'm like, okay, it sounds like today's stuff. So I get that. And to me, just again, I'm an outsider listening to it. I can see his appeal because it, to me, it sounds like the blending of a rapper and a person singing, because his flow sort of raps and then he kind of talks and then he sings, and the beat is that kind of real dour type of beat. It almost comes to mind too. What's that guy, The Weeknd? From some of the stuff I've heard, it kind of reminds me. And maybe that's the style, whatever. But I just thought it was interesting. Sean Hill, man, what did you think of this Nikes video from Frank Ocean?
Definitely one of the, I don't watch a lot of videos. I mean, they're not – I guess they are really available on YouTube, but I don't seek them out. But it was definitely interesting visually, to say the least. But I don't know where you're going to actually be able to watch this video. I'm assuming you have to maybe subscribe to Apple. I mean, I know we saw it on the Rolling Stone thing, but not a fan of Frank Ocean. Just I could, you know, give or take, I haven't really heard anything that's really impressed me based on this song and this video. My feeling is unchanged. Again, I believe that, you know, the video is interesting to look at, but I mean, I think if you watched it once, I think you would probably wouldn't want to watch it again. It's not anything that would stand this test of time. It's no Thriller. Let's just say that.
Okay. All right. Aunt Pooh, what did you think of this Frank Ocean song? And also, I asked, I didn't ask, are you familiar with his music?
I have his first album, but I don't think I've ever listened to it. So I'm going to say no.
How did you get it then? I'm just curious.
What the fuck?
I got it from the library. This was back when I was just collecting music from the library, go to the library, check out CDs. I would rip them to the hard drive and listen to them whenever. So that was just, you know, I just picked it up. I'd heard the name, picked it up, and I think I listened to it once and never listened to it again.
Man, you are showing your age. My man say, I went to the library to check it out.
God damn. Let me back that. I was taking my daughter to get some books and stuff, and I was looking at the CDs, and you know, so I checked out the CDs. Hey, it's better than buying them, right? Just check them out for the library for free. I'm rip not them. Mad at you. Yeah, I used to call that rent, rip, return. There we go.
Wow. Now you know you can get all this off the internet. You know, saved your trip, but I feel you.
But I was already there. I didn't make a special trip.
I got it. And Pooh.
Yes, sir. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, did you not hear what we were talking about?
Yeah, he was talking about the Frank Ocean, correct?
What did you think about it?
First, I'm not a fan of his. I'm just going to keep that all the way 1,000. For me, any man that quote-unquote comes out the closet because he was a jump-off for another man is not courageous, but apparently that's courageous to admit. But yeah, I'm not a fan of his music. I watched the video. All I could think of was that Boondocks episode with Thugnificent with booty butt cheeks. Booty butt, booty butt cheeks. That's all I can see. And I'm kind of confused which was male, which is female, too.
Okay. All right, yeah. All right.
I'm not a fan of that. I mean, and then he throws in references to Trayvon Martin and right. Topical issue, black issues. I'm like, okay, that's nice, but I still can't get the image of you being a jump off and being cheered for that out of my head.
What did you think of the song, the music itself?
The instrumental was great. What he was his rapping style and going with the high pitched Camille voice. I wasn't a fan of that.
All right. So you have more of it. The open gayness and the jump off is an issue for you?
Open gayness. First of all, he's bi, not gay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Correct me, sir. Let me quote Q Storm. Educate me.
And hang on too. And while you educate, for those that don't know, because I don't know what's a jump off. I really don't know what that is.
I'm not mad. You went to the library. You not knowing what's a jump off. Go ahead and explain that.
Jump off is somebody that you can call at any time, and they will come over and pretty much bend over for you.
Mm. So a booty call, right?
No. Yeah. Booty call is like somebody you can call like at 3 a.m, like that's your last person. Like jump off is she's always ready to come give you some. It's different. It's technically different. Like they know they're
so I'm confused.
Educated
position.
You're well versed in this, sir, so I'm gonna
Yeah. And you may wanna let that knowledge go at this point in your life, but I respect the breakdown. But and I co-sign, yeah, I've heard those definitions. So again, I just wanted to be clear, Ant. The jump off status, the buy status, is a no go, and then the music is all right.
Being lauded for admitting to being a jump off for a man is the problem, and not that he was a jump off for a man. Is that all of us? When Channel Orange came out, he admitted that he was bi and that he had this relationship with this man who was in a relationship with a woman and how it affected him. And everybody was like, oh, he's so brave. Oh, he's so courageous. Good for him coming out. Oh, that's great. I'm like, dude just admitted he was a jump off and you guys are giving him praise for that? If that was Beyonce or Kim K or Nicki Minaj, I'd be calling her a hoe. But this guy gets praise. Fuck out of here.
Well, I mean, Kim K is her career is on. I mean...
Yeah, I think she's getting lauded for that too.
Amber Rose.
When has Kardashian been a jump off?
Well, no, but the fact I thought the point was you were saying that they would be called a hoe. They're not being called a hoe.
Okay, but I'm saying if Kim K came out and said that I was a jump off Barack Obama, y'all would be calling her a hoe, not courageous.
Well, that's a whole
But she was in a sex tape, and they still not calling her a hoe.
Okay,
come on, man.
I don't see where I'm losing you at, Q. I'm saying if Kim Kardashian had came out and said she was a jump off for Ellen, she would not be called brave and courageous for admitting her bisexuality. She would be called a hoe.
I guess what I'm saying is she's done something worse than be a jump off, and she's not being called a hoe.
Okay. I don't know if she's done any worse. I mean, she was in a relationship with a dude when tape got put out, but
how's that though?
Everybody got different standards.
Yeah.
All right. Q, what did you think of the Frank Ocean video and song Nikes?
I mean, is it Nikes or is it Nikes?
I don't know, man.
I mean, because I look at this, I think I'm going to see something with some tennis shoes. I'm with you.
Right?
There were some.
Listen. Okay.
Like, how does Nike feel about this? Are they just, hey, okay, we take this. Or like, I don't be associated with that, but.
I understand art is supposed to be provocative. If you don't get a strong reaction, either pro or against, then your art's not really doing what it's supposed to do. So I get that. I guess I don't understand. It seems like the only thing to me, this is some Kanye West bullshit kind of just create images that have no kind of connection. I don't know what the song is about. I don't know what the images are about. Everybody's saying it's so fantastic. Just the imagery is great. I'm like, and I mean, having worked in the business, maybe not at this level, but I've worked on music videos in the past for some people of note. I mean,
name one.
Joe, Fat Joe, Poor Righteous Teachers.
Which song? I'm just curious. Poor Righteous Teachers. What song was this?
I don't even remember, man. To be honest.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
I mean, they weren't. That's how I said it. I'm not saying they're big. These are big.
I respect it. Rock this funky joint. That's my cut. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. But I just don't see what's so amazing about this video. It just seems like a bunch of images that were thrown together. And everyone's like, maybe Ant is onto something. Just because this guy has come out, everything he does is supposed to be great. I'm not seeing it.
What'd you think of the music, the song itself?
I thought it was horrible.
Oh, really? Wow.
I mean, I thought it was something that any 12th grader with a Casio could put together.
Damn.
But I think most music today sounds like that.
All right. Harsh words, but that's your opinion.
But I agree with you. Most music does sound like that.
Well, I agree. The music, they have that same style. I would agree. I don't necessarily think it's easy, but I can understand why you would say that.
There's no artistry behind what I just heard.
I would disagree, but I hear you, though. I hear you. Comparing it to what came before, it's not even close.
So I think the consensus is get off our lawn. Right.
Pretty
basically. I mean,
it's stop Frank being Ocean, a jump off.
And that too.
Is Frank Ocean considered hip hop, R&B, or a fusion between the two, or
what fusion?
I just remember when hip hop, it was fun. I mean, it wasn't so angst ridden. I mean, you had Public Enemy, and you had certain groups that they still spoke a message, but it was clear what the fuck they were saying.
Well, maybe it's speaking to a different, you know, speaking to a younger mind, and maybe he's talking encoded stuff that they get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's one thing you always kind of find, particularly with hip hop or black stuff, is very coded to the generation of its time. You know what I mean? Like, some people older back in the day in the 80s would have, you know, may have looked at a Prince or something and say, well, it's okay, but what the fuck is he talking about? Or why is he talking about that? Or, you know what I mean? But it was coded for the time it came out versus a Marvin Gaye or, you know, something that was from the earlier style. Like, you could understand what the hell he was saying. It wasn't just all metaphors or it wasn't so explicit. And then you get to rap and then it becomes very explicit, but it speaks to, you know. Okay, so I'm just thinking, again, I'm an outsider, so as I openly say, I don't know it all when it comes to what they're doing because I'm so far out of it, but I can see that he's the reason why he resonates with younger people. Does the gay thing play into it? Of course. But I think musically, there's other music that's like this that I've heard that people be all into and I hear referenced, and I listen to it, and I'm like, I don't understand. How could you like The Week? And I'm not dissing myself. The Weeknd, that's... I'm like you. I was like, anybody could have did that. That's not even on a level like a Devontae and Jodeci or something where it was actually, them niggas was singing or they had chords and stuff. But again, it ain't made for me, I guess.
Well, you know, you say it's made for the youth of today. These are the same youth that on any given talk show where they go out in the street and ask them questions about history or the United States, they can't even find the United States on a map. So, you know.
Okay. All right. So there you go, Frank Ocean. Let us know what you think of this. I know we got some Frank Ocean fans out there. I know we do. Brother's big. I give him this, though. I think it is dope that he has such a huge platform and he seems to just make, in my opinion, something like very non-commercial imagery and music, but people are feeling it. So I like that. I mean, you know, Apple Music is not like some minor thing. You know, that's just money in the bank, sold or not, right? They cut in the check to do what they want to do. So I can respect that move and when cats move like that. So I get it, you know. We could have another conversation of that sort of being the face of, dare say, R&B right now. And what does that mean for us as a culture? But who am I going to get into all that?
There's no R&B today. R&B, well, R&B is all white people now. Come on.
Well, it's I'm saying in terms of black, he may be the face of it, sort of leading that sort of style, you know, which has The Weeknd and different people. And there's a lot of I've seen these guys. There's a lot. Is there something like the Party Next Door or something like that? Have you guys ever heard of that?
Yeah. That dude, yeah. What is up with these lame ass names?
I know,
Future,
right?
The Weeknd, Party.
They've run out. Right? I mean, how many artists are there in the world? I mean, to kind of piggyback, I think we just lost Ant. The piggyback on what Dean just said about kind of music being for you and stuff like that. I mean, when I'm with my daughter, I'll let her listen to the radio station she likes to listen to. And by like the third song, I'm like, can we listen to something else? Because I'm just like, I mean, I'm like, where's the song structure? Where's the wit? Where's the, as Q said, where's the fun? Where's, you know, it's all about popping bottles and, you know, sitting in the club. And, you know, that was my big criticism of Hit and Run, you know, Volume 1 was that it wasn't for me. It was, you know, it was for a generation that's what they know and that's what they grew up on. And, you know, we actually grew up on, you know, cats playing, songwriting, you know, chorus. You know, well, not in hip hop, but, well, I mean, hip hop was still fun. Now it's just repetitive. They just repeat the same word over and over again. How many times does Rihanna say work in that song, Work, right?
So I mean, that's not hip hop, though.
But I'm just saying, I'm just music in general.
I mean, I have to say, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. That was it. I just. Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Q. Okay, maybe not. You know,
you can't hear talking.
Hello, hello.
Now we hear you. Go ahead.
I have to admit, I am feeling a song, "Cake by the Ocean." I have to admit that.
Which song?
"Cake by the Ocean."
I haven't heard that.
Who's that?
Damn. Palmer's never played that song for you, Sean?
She may have, and I may not know the title.
Talk to me, baby. Da la 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 da 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 da. You never heard that?
I may have, yeah. Now what you're singing, it sounds like that song "I Don't Care," which I hear that 10,000.
It's the song. It's the guy from. I'm exposing myself. The guy from Jonas Brothers. He went off on his own. He's with the group called DNCE.
That one.
Huh? Yeah,
you on your own with that one?
Yeah. You ride that train alone, brother.
Yeah, you exposing yourself.
Well, you know, I do keep up with musical trends. Okay.
Hey, all right.
I have a 10-year-old. So.
Well, hey, I have an 11-year-old too.
Wait. Your 10-year-old listen to that?
Stop.
He goes to a school, sir, and they have white people at that school.
Wow. Now we go back to race.
Well, I let Palmer have like access to my title. Except I made her own her own account. And so I said, you know, whatever you want, just put it on there and, you know, it's fine. But of course, I go back through and I check to see what she's putting on there. And if I'll listen to it and if I hear, you know, anything that, you know, I don't think an 11-year-old should be listening to, delete.
Man, that's
a tradition. That's what our parents did. Oh, what's this you listening to? Dirty Mind. What was it? What's this talking about? Cut that off. You know, so
that's not what. This is a funny story I got to tell. I remember when I was younger, I was probably in high school, and my brother was, I don't know, 10 or 11, 12, 13 maybe. No, I was in college. He was 12, 13. And I saw some Ice Cube cassettes in his room, you know, America, KKK's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
I did snitch. I said, Mike, you see what Greg's listening to?
You was on the train back then?
Five years later, I'm rocking that shit out in my car.
Boom, 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 boom. Man, you snitching train.
Here's an interesting question I'll pose to you guys. If Prince was a new artist today, like let's say he came out with Dirty Mind. All right. I was 10 or 11 or somewhere in that area when I first heard that album and had that album. Would you let your kids listen to Prince as you were exposed to Prince? Does that make sense?
It depends on the album.
Well, okay, well, I said Dirty Mind.
It depends on the song.
Yeah, it depends on the song.
Good stuff on Dirty Mind, but like Head, Sister,
come on,
even Dirty Mind. Well, I'm
gonna keep it 100. Based off the cover, no. And if I saw any video, no, you're not ready for it.
And I say I feel the same way. Now my parents let me listen to that stuff. Now I didn't know what I was listening to at that age, right? And I tease my mom to this day, and she's always like, "I can't believe I let you listen to Prince at such a young age." I'm like, "You didn't see the Dirty Mind album cover? That didn't tip you off at all? You didn't see the dick on 1999? That didn't tip you off that?" Maybe your son, your 12-year-old son, probably shouldn't be listening to that album. So you have no one to blame but yourself. So
she's like, "Well, you turned out all right." That's my mom, who I know is going to be listening. That's what she's going to say. Like, "Yeah, I let you listen to all that. Look at you now. You graduated from UCLA. You married. You got a good job. You ain't never been in trouble. What's the problem?"
Yeah. But it's interesting that Mike, you had the same answer, because I don't think I would let Palmer listen to Prince.
No, not at all. I just, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with Tori about early Prince and sort of the change. And you know, I think that, like you said, Sean, it's easy to say what we have went through. But now looking back in hindsight as an adult, no, I wouldn't allow my child to just openly like play that. And not at least have to have an explanation, like Sister, or not even going to the most explicit songs, just going with Uptown. Like what he's talking about, I don't want her to be thinking like that.
Well, is there going through the lyrics in Uptown. Is there something wrong with?
He's essentially just going out to some place. The girl asks him if he's gay or something. No, are you? And then, you know, I guess he ends up doing her or something.
Yeah, she made love to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
want kids sing that. I don't want my kids.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Well, I don't want my kid to sing, like, not without some conversation. Like, yo, you shouldn't be promiscuous like that chick. You know, that's not really the way. That's not how I really want you to be raised. Like that. Slow it down. There's no consequences behind what he's talking about in that song. Did he get the girl pregnant? What if he got the girl pregnant? Or you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's just presented as just as fun.
I'm just saying, you got kids acting out Scarface in public.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's totally crazy too.
That's nuts, man.
Cockroach. But anyway,
my mother's gonna kill me for this, but like, I probably had no business watching Purple Rain at age 7.
Wow.
Or listening to the Purple Rain album without, as Mike would say, a conversation about some of those lyrics.
I would agree.
Yeah, 7's a bit young. I think I let Palmer just watch the musical sequences, but not. I don't even think she still hasn't seen the whole movie.
Wait. Did you let her watch the Computer Blue performance?
I did. Yeah, because there's no frame of reference of what that is actually going.
Oh.
What she asked, and I said that Wendy was trying to get a better look at his guitar. That's exactly what I told her.
If CPS needs any information, I will not. We need his contact info ASAP.
We snitching.
Well, we know you are, Q.
I mean, there's no nudity in there. I mean, I know what the scene implies, but I just don't think a 7-year-old would get the implication.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
Right, but the thing is, so then if you let her watch that, why not let your child hear "We Made Love"? I mean,
that was Mike's point, not mine. But
oh, all right. Because I mean, "We Made Love" that could be. I think a kid would. My son thinks that just means kissing. He thinks sex is kissing and
okay, but the Computer Blue sequence, Palmer bought what I said, so she didn't know that it was a you know, fellatio simulation. No,
I hope just said, see that. Let me stop, Michael. Stop.
So
I would have said, hopefully that she never has in some sort of band rehearsal situation.
I'm saying, right?
And she wants to Let me show you how to look at the guitar. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, again, she was seven. She hasn't seen a movie since. Well, she's seen it, but not. Anyway. I stand by my decision.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Guitar Hero. Who wants to play Guitar Hero?
Wow.
I'm
sorry. I didn't expect this yet.
The jokes just roll. All right.
So, I didn't let her watch the love scene for crying out loud, or you know, just the performances. That was
well, man.
I mean, it's no worse than you know watching.
He's still trying to. I'm trying to justify.
This is the black and white video. You know, the extended version. You know.
That's totally tame.
Mike adjusted himself 8,000 times in the video. Okay.
Everybody's seen that.
That ain't nothing compared to guitar watching. Come on.
Well, as of now, she's turned out fine. So,
He did that in Thriller, adjusted himself. He does that every.
No, not to that extent. But we'll move on. We won't get stuck on that.
There we go. Let's move forward. All right. So, yeah, there you go. Frank Ocean. Man, I want to, we just got a cool message here and shout out one of our listeners, somebody new, guy's name is Sean Venus, if I'm saying it right. He just left this message. I want to read it. Give him a shout out. He says, hey there, just found the Prince podcast about 2 weeks ago and have been hooked ever since. Thank you so much for putting this out there. I subscribed and plan on donating, getting all access. I'm somewhat of a Prince novice and really only have the stuff I could find on iTunes and at my library. Shout out to Sean. I was able to find the Scandalous Sex Suite, and I'm trying to find the easiest, best way to get Crystal Ball, The Truth, The Rainbow Children, Emancipation, etc., so I can get more into the man's music, and because you all haven't steered me wrong with recommendations yet. I know they're on Tidal, but I'm not trying to fuck with that. Damn.
Well, I was just going to say, they're all on time.
I don't know why. But, thank you again for all you do. I'll keep listening for as long as you're putting it out there. One last thing. I'm a big comic geek, so I love the references and geek talk on the show. Well, welcome, Sean. Definitely go through and listen to all the old shows and stick with us for the new stuff. That's cool. So it sounds like a new Prince fan, which I'm sure there is a lot now, right? Because, you know, Prince is now, he's in that legendary, you know, the long lost musician category, and his situation is there's so much wealth to go through. Imagine if you were a new fan, right, and just got into Prince and all that. There's a lifetime of work you have to go, you're going to have. That's just amazing. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a trip, man. I'm just very curious, and maybe one day I'll read a book or hear somebody's experience where they just got into them, and it's not in chronological order. I'm curious how they would, you know, what do they gravitate to? I know my guy at work, he is, from what I've played for him, he responds to 90s Prince heavy, particularly like the Emancipation stuff. So it's interesting, you know, to hear a young person's take on it. But welcome anyway, Sean. All right. We want to talk about, I want to hear you guys' reactions, thoughts on the Netflix show, The Get Down. So in the last episode, I briefly kind of talked about it. I think me and my aunt and myself kind of started watching it. I have since seen the whole series. Aunt, you have seen the whole thing. What are your thoughts, man?
I think a couple months ago, I had declared WGN's, excuse me, Underground as the best show on television, even though I kind of had the stance of I was tired of the old Negro spiritual slave narrative, but Underground is so great. I now have to say The Get Down is the best show on television. I thoroughly enjoyed this show. I want to reference when we did our Comic-Con panel last year, We Are All Heroes. My boy, Ryan Ford, he said that you know, to the black community. These Straight Outta Compton was on his way out, and he was like, "We look at these rap stars, these rappers, these films like Straight Outta Compton. Like, these are our Avengers. These are our superheroes. These are the people that we grew up with that we thought of as larger than life characters that we want to deify to a certain extent." And it's like everything he said that day was put into this show, as you saw all different parts of the hip hop culture really become like a superhero television show with all the things that we're doing. They had some over the top comedy that they played on the black exploitation stuff. To me, I know Sean and Q, they have their opinions on it, but for me, this show was freaking awesome and a joy to watch. This is going to be the first Netflix show that I'm going to watch again, probably within a month when my kids come, before the new the second part of the season. First of all, fuck you, Netflix. Like, seriously, why we got to get this in two parts? The first real long black themed show is in two parts. But you know what? I'm gonna give y'all somewhat a pass because the show is that good. I love this show.
All right. I'm just going to double down on what you said. I really like this show, too. I fell in love with the characters. The guy who plays the lead, it's funny because I will say I don't remember a lot of their names.
Zeke.
And what's the fantastic dude? Or was it? Shaolin Fantastic? Is that what?
So over the top, but it's like, yes. That's
tough. He is essentially... Well, here, let me say this. So I really love this show, but I also recognize that it has, to me, it's almost like the Suicide Squad in a sense. It has some stuff that's like, you know, it's over the top or it's kind of all over the place, but the parts I love outweigh that stuff because sometimes the tone, particularly on the first episode, can just go all over the place. It doesn't know if it wants to be a musical or a serious show or a satirical or some sort of fantasy West Side Story thing. But as it goes on, it sort of more settles into a more real sort of street tale a little bit. And it's about kids. And so I can roll with that. But again, the thing is, I love the story and what it's about and the culture that it's about. So, you know, that early hip-hop mm-hmm. stuff. Grandmaster Flash. Now, whether they're playing Grandmaster Flash as if he's like fucking Yoda or something, but I like that. I mean, it's almost making these guys into like mythical characters. That the whole part with Cool Herc, I thought that was dope. I mean, it plays him like he's this you know, monk, superhuman type dude. But I like that. I like that somebody says, you know what, I'm going to take that culture and I'm going to elevate them into hero status. I thought that was dope. Like, because they are. I remember watching, and if you haven't seen it, go watch. It's probably on YouTube, Wild Style, the movie with Fab Five Freddy. It was a narrative movie, but it kind of played like a documentary a little bit too. And because some of this stuff seemed real, but it has a narrative to it. A lot of the Get Down is based off of that, right? The lead character looks like the lead character from Wild Style. Grandmaster Flash is featured in that movie, like showing scratching for the first time, which is essentially one of the storylines in this movie. And it also takes place in the time frame that this movie takes place, but in real life. So I implore you to go watch that. But there's a scene with Cool Herc in that movie where it's the real Cool Herc and he's driving in his car. And he's got these huge like concert speakers hanging out the back of his car, driving down the hood, blasting music. And that's why, you know, when they say, oh, Cool Herc got the biggest sound, like they sort of reference it. So I love that they're treating the culture in that regard. So I'm all in. I even like the disco parts.
Right. That was cool,
you know, and sort of show like the blending of disco and hip hop. And, you know, again, to me, it shows the fun of hip hop. It shows like, why were those kids in that like abandoned alleyway or whatever that was? And they was just gigging. It was just the DJ was up there and he was just running beats. He would find the breakdown parts, or they call it the get down parts in the song, and just run the break beats back and forth. I'm like, that's the basis of hip hop production and music right there. It's to take what happened. It took the music of the day, right? But like I said, we don't want to hear all that instrumentation and shit. Just find the dope part of the record and just play that. Fuck the rest of it. I love how they showed that, right? Because you see the influence of that to this day in music.
Yeah,
So I thought that was dope. I mean, like,
that party where Grandmaster Flash was DJing and he was breaking down how he was finding it, I just sat there. I was like, God damn, I just got an education. I actually took an ethnomusicology class in college. And I'm like, how the hell did this show teach me something better than the class did? Like, and I'm seeing that, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I was like, I'm getting it. I'm getting this stuff now. Because I'm one of those that say, you know what, it's 2016. Like, stop with the sampling. I said that in 2000. I said that in 1996. But, you know, then when you see where it came from and how it started, you're like, oh, damn. Okay, I need to shut the fuck up.
It shows the genius of, you know, people in that area who didn't have money and couldn't afford shit, but they knew they was going to make that stuff one way or the other. It shows the genius how they made that. I don't know, I'm not going to go too long, but I love the whole part about the blackout. And, like, because of that blackout that happened, was it 1976, 77, I think?
77.
77. That spawns everyone becoming a DJ, right? It was like, that's the turning point for hip-hop, where it's like, oh, we going to go looting? Unless we looting the turntables, and now hip hop explodes, right? Because now the opportunity is there. I love that because it just shows, even through things that happen in society, they can spawn. If those people are ingenuitive enough, they'll turn shit into something. They'll turn it into a $1 billion business, right? So I love you seeing that kind of stuff. Last thing I will say, Jaden Smith. Listen, Jaden, young man, Will, I wish I knew Will Smith. Like, he would carry his way, but I'd be like, man, bruh, Big Willie, you the man, you are the motherfucker. Watched you from, you know, first album here, I'm the DJ Easy Rap. But yo, my man, be cognizant of the imagery you got your son out here on, man. Because to me, it just played into, I already expected, it kind of borders on some gay, funny style scene. And I'm like, why they gotta have Jaden do this? He's already kind of playing around with that shit. And I was like, I'm like, here come that agenda. There we go.
Hey, Mike, come on, Mike. It's 2016. Well, and if you
pay attention, it was 1977.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but we're talking about back in the day. Now, I understand the influence and the sort of the co sort of habitation of that sort of gay disco scene and how that can sort of blend into like early rap. I'm not mad at that, but I was just kind of like, why he kind of have to always be sort of the poster child, it seems like, for that kind of funny blurring the narrative. Maybe that's his agent. Maybe that's his personal.
I mean, if you've been paying attention, that's what he's been doing. I mean, he was the male model for females' clothing.
My point is to say it's too obvious. Why do you have to have him play that? It would have seemed, because I expected it. I was like, oh, of course, I was like, oh, they're going to have him kissing. That's his MO. Like, why couldn't they have had one of the other, somebody that I wouldn't expect do that? Then it would play more to me like, oh, wow, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head because. There was one scene where I think he meets that artist that I don't remember that guy's name, but
Thor.
That's right. How could I forget Thor? And he just gives him this look, and I'm like, are they gonna go there? Are they really, really, really gonna go there? And I'm like, no, stop! It's not that they're not gonna go there because it's not that obvious. And then spoiler, when it does happen. It wasn't that it happened. That was, you know, I don't care about that. It was that, as Dean said, it was so, they telegraphed it. It was so painfully obvious what was going to happen. Let's be honest. Jaden Smith is not a great actor. I honestly thought he was done after Earth. I didn't think he wanted to act after Earth. So I don't know if this was, again, the elder Smiths pushing him out there to keep acting or what, or be, I mean, he, none of the guys were charismatic. The only person that I liked was Shaolin Fantastic.
Yeah, he should have been. Yeah, he's the man.
He should have been Zeke. He should have been the Justice Smith. No relation to Will and Jada and Jaden. He is awful. I'm sorry. He is just awful. And Q Storm hit on one of the points where he's trying to get into the club. Oh my god! I wanted to stop watching the show right there. I'm like, okay, this guy is horrible. He's terrible. But he'll arc. He'll get better. And he never does. He just has this pouty look on his face. He has this weird manner of speaking that I don't know. You guys loved it. I did not like it that much. I don't review TV shows or rate them, but I would probably give this out of four. I'd probably give it a two, maybe a 1.5.
Wow.
There were just parts of it that were utterly ridiculous. We got the cunnilingus rape in episode, was it 5?
Damn, we spoiled like a motherfucker, ain't we?
Well, people have had time to see it at this point, I would assume.
Which part are you talking about again? Remind me.
Remember when what's the record producer, Jackie Moreno, he goes to see the lady and then
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, that was some Empire shit right there. Yeah, that was straight. Was. That was straight. Somebody told Jimmy Smits that he was in a comedy, right? I don't know what he was doing.
That's how he's supposed to be played, though.
It wasn't that. It was not. I just thought his character, it seemed too cartoonish in a show that was kind of filled with cartoony character. This one just really, really stood out to me. It was like he was hamming it up for.
I can see it.
Like it being a satire.
I think it fit. I believe he was playing it and he meant it to be that cartoonish. Because remember who's behind this.
I think the thing to say too, this show, you have to accept that this show is hyper reality, right? It's not real. It's on some other.
You got. I at times I felt like I was watching Kung Fu Panda, with all the mysticism and all of that. And you explained it better. You guys explained it better than I. But that's just what I felt like. It just felt like, you know, Grasshopper and all of that. I'm like, man, just tell them how to play the records. It's not that deep. It's not that mystical.
Well, no. If you go, it's kind of like, what's Marcus? It's kind of like wrestling. It's like, no, you got to put in the work to be a wrestler. To be a DJ.
And I get that. But the whole, you know, mentor, mentee, grasshopper, Kung Fu Panda thing, it just didn't work for me. The last thing I'll say about it, second to last thing, about the scene with the cockroach, do you guys remember that?
I don't remember.
The scene with the cockroach. When he was in the house with that white dude.
I didn't get that.
I didn't either. That's the problem.
What happened? What happened?
Well, he goes to visit this family. He had this internship opportunity that, you know, brothers, we were late. He was late, so they were like, nope, you missed out, brother. Sorry, you know.
It wasn't the night before he got in that that stuff.
But he was still, I mean, he's still
late. You're right. Yeah, good excuse.
Yeah, well, as you say, Nadine, if one of us had come to the show late and we were out partying the night before, you would.
Well, if you showed the picture of that, I let you ride past that time.
So he's
Orleans, a hell of a pass.
So he goes to this house. He's having this discussion with the guy who was the head of the internship,
as opposed to that actor dressed up as pregnant. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, wow! No!
Don't take.
Just move on. And then this cockroach just comes out of his suit and starts crawling around. Now Zeke sees this. He's trying to like act nonchalant, but there was no point. He ends up squashing it, like literally killing it with his hand. But it made no sense. I'm like, what the hell is this about? I would say it was filler, but it. I don't know. It was just moments like that that took me out of the show. And having the guy lip sync to Nas, what, Nas, are you too busy to come film, what, maybe an hour of work. You could just, you know, film each segment. They can cut it back in the show. That made no sense to me. Why not? I mean, Nas's voice
is very. They should not have used Nas's voice. Too recognizable.
One or the other. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. His voice is too recognizable. So when the show first started and you see him, I'm like, is that not, no, that's not Nas. Is that Nas rapping then? Is that someone trying to be Nas? You know, again, confused. I will say this for the show. The pilot is horrible. The first episode was
I was saying it for the show.
What?
You said, I will say this for the show. The pilot was horrible.
It was.
So you're about to give it a compliment.
But it kind of was. It was all over the place. It was.
Can I get in here?
Yeah, let him finish.
All right, Nate.
The pilot was horrible, and which had it not been for this show, us, you know, Podcast Juice, I would have stopped at the pilot. I just kept watching it because I knew we were going to be talking about it. It does settle down after the first episode, so it gets better stylistically. It's not jumping all over the place. Mike, you did mention one thing that last week that you didn't like that I actually like. You didn't like the stock footage, how it was, you know, kind of grainy and and you know the regular stuff wasn't. I kind of like that because it still kept you in the times, although the footage quality didn't match what they were doing on the show. But I didn't have a problem with that. But I will say this: the last 15 minutes of the show, or at least of episode 6, almost made up for the other times that the show wasn't that good. That part was very good, and I was like, kind of got into them at that point.
The performance part?
Yeah. I wasn't gonna spoil it. Yeah, but yes, it's that part. That part was excellent. But yeah, like I said, and the story seems over, right? To me, at least. So I don't know where they're gonna go with these next 6 episodes. I mean, it unless it's just more, you know, the on top, you know, thing. It was kind of like Purple Rain, right? It ends with, you know, baby, I'm a star kind of thing. And okay, where do we go from here? You're on top. But I guess maybe other crews are coming for them or whatever. But yep, that's my take.
We still got to meet Afrika Bambaataa.
Yeah, I know they mentioned him. But all right, that's my take.
All right. Q, what'd you think? Now, you've seen the first episode.
I think I still have a half hour to go on the pilot.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you why. First of all, I don't think I've liked anything that Baz Luhrmann has done. Maybe Chicago with Queen Latifah. But I don't like his style. I think he's flash and very little substance. And I think he brought all of that to the pilot. Now, we've already said that the pilot, I've already heard that the pilot is bad. The rest of it gets better. But I'm just telling you, man, there's so much good TV right now. I don't feel like I need to give a show 2 or 3 episodes to reel me in. I thought it was all over the place. I thought it was silly. The lead character, there was only one scene that resonated with me at all. And that was the scene where he's citing his rhyme to the teacher. That was a good scene because the camera slowed down. It was serious. It took itself seriously. Then we get to scenes where this dude, I'm getting in that club. I got to get in the club. Give me that rock. That's my record. No, that's my record. I'm going to get this nigga in the club, please. I'm like.
On one hand, he played the F-boy perfectly. So much that he annoys you, right? Like,
Well, okay.
But you're supposed to still. Okay. Connect and latch on to him, though.
Well, the other thing is, you made me lose my train of thought. I died laughing. So he tries to get into this club, and there's this super DJ. I forget his name, but the dude in the white suit, super badass, tough DJ.
Oh,
badass
that Hurricane DJ. Or something like that, or
I forget his name.
He was on.
He was talking some shit to the guys when they gave him the record. And then this big tough dude gets on the floor, starts doing these John Travolta moves. I'm like, huh? I don't know. So for me, the pilot was horrible, and I feel like this is my new version of The Wire. I have to watch it because people are telling me to watch it. I'm supposed to like it, so I gotta watch it. But I'm not feeling it at all.
No, I can. I, like I said earlier, I can respect your take. I can see. I don't disagree with anything you say. Like, I think this movie, not this movie, this TV show, like Stranger Things, which is another
show. That's another one.
It is a show that is a love letter to the particular culture that it's about, and I think that's what kept me watching it past the first one.
It didn't give me that culture.
I think if you grew up with that and you see the elements of it, you see what is in there, you can't help but not like want us, okay, I have to see how they're going to do this. And how are they going, you know what I'm saying? So that's the only reason I really got in. And then I fell in love with the characters because I said, okay, I see certain people. Like, I really actually fell in love with Jaden's character, which may sound strange.
Yeah.
But what his character represents and what his character specifically was doing, I was specifically doing that. Like, the people I grew up around.
I'm sorry. I thought you said he was looking at a dude and what?
Right. But no, his character was a graffiti artist.
Oh, okay.
And he was out bombing. You know, it really, again, if you had grew up watching, there's another documentary called Style Wars, which it really pulls a lot from too. That whole thing where they go to the writer's bench and they got those books, you call them peace books. You know, he traded his peace book with Thor. You know, that's the stuff that we used to do. And me not being from New York, we emulated. We wanted to be that. So we would watch those movies, and that's how we decided that would be our style. That was, you know, we drew from that. So that's why I said I loved, because I wanted to see what was going to happen with him, because I'm like, yeah, that's me and Tobe right there, you know, this and that. So that's what I said. I loved what it was about. I wish it's told in like a hyper reality sort of way. Now, I wasn't familiar with the director's stuff. I had heard of Chicago and other movies, but I had never seen them. I've only seen like the trailer, so I knew that they were like these big fantastical musicals, and I'm not into that type of shit. But because it's about the culture that I love, I had to watch. I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
So I can understand why you don't like it.
I'm just saying, I grew up with it too.
Well, let me say this real quick. I understand what you're saying, Dean, as far as connecting to the characters and to the situation. Like, for instance, I love a film that I think all of you hate, which is not too surprising, Super 8. I love Super 8. And why? The reason why I like that movie so much is because of the kids making a movie, right? And I connected with that. That is what I was doing at that age. You know, going out with your friends with the camera and, you know, just coming up with these wild scenarios and filming it. Right. That was me as a kid, mm-hmm. right? So I connected with those characters and with that movie. Is it a great movie? No, probably not. But because of the connection and the nostalgia I have with those characters and with their situation, what they're doing, that's why I like it so much. I can watch it repeatedly because, again, I connect with them. So
it reminds you of a time when you did that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I have to say the first 30 minutes of episode 5, to me, was the best thing on television I've seen all year.
Remind us what that was. I'm trying to remember.
That was the when Jackie Moreno came up, got the inspiration because Jimmy Smith's character was going to get in that ass because he didn't have his...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
And they contrasted that with the...
Hello? Uh-oh.
Pay bill.
Cut out.
That was going on at Cody Hurt's party. Loved it. And anything that has... what's her name? Harrison, goddamn, it's a fucked up name. Harrison Guardiola, I'm all on board.
Is that the girl?
Yes, Mylene. Oh my god.
Oh, yeah, that goal.
I'm mad at old boy Zeke being a simp for the first couple episodes. Because when she was singing at the church and she came out that robe and the cleavage feet.
Yeah, that gold dress in episode, I think it was episode 1.
That was crazy.
How old is this girl, though?
That's the thing. We're all on our R. Kelly right now.
She's well over 21.
I don't know, man.
I'll look her up.
I immediately got on my creep and looked her up. She seemed like she was in high school not too long ago.
If it's the lead character, the lead female,
yes.
Yeah, Molly.
Yeah, I made sure. I'm not looking at that. I'm not going to allow it to happen. We don't talk.
They're not giving you ages of these characters because they seem like they high school, but they're in these adult situations. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I know Mylene is not in high school anymore, right?
Yeah, very young.
One of the girls, the dark skinned girl in the pilot, the cat. I was like, Baz is on his Michael Bay kind of
hilarious.
When it was up in Central Park on that rock.
Oh, yeah.
And the girl's shaking her head.
Yes.
I'm like, what? I'm not supposed to be watching this.
He's on his, whoever the director of the movie, Kids. That's what he was on. Like.
Oh, wow.
But those were all adults, though.
Well, I know. But yeah, I mean, that girl's, I hope she has a long career. That she was on her young, she's on her young Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I can't find her.
Nah, I'm sorry. Rosario ain't never looked that good.
Oh man, you need to stop.
You definitely.
I'm saying it. She Rosario ain't never looked that good.
Wow. Go watch. What's that movie I did a review on years ago?
Trance. Is that
let me give me dap up to my man Q Star. He came immediately. Trance.
Hey, yes, sir. Q Star. That's a stunt. Yes, it is.
Don't ruin it.
It is. I'm sorry. It is. It's a stunt.
Nah, she's just full. She's standing there full on, man.
You do know they can do makeup is a wonderful thing in Hollywood.
Don't tell me that. You mean a bush was standing bush?
What's the source?
Yeah, what's the source? Where's your receipts at, sir?
I'll look it up. I'll look it up for you guys.
We're going to debate on this one.
Although I did think that I remember y'all don't watch Game of Thrones, but the episode where they made Cersei walk through the city naked. I think I put on Facebook, damn, Lena Headey's looking pretty good. And
it was her
face was mapped onto another body.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened in Trance. So just
FYI. Man, as far as I know, that was. I
didn't meet her, but I've seen Rosario Dawson in person. She's fine.
Yeah,
That girl ain't got nothing on Rosario Dawson.
Ladies and gentlemen,
to disagree. I will put her up against Rosario Dawson all day, every day.
Yeah. To the south.
Well, I just want to mention one more time that I'm still laughing about it. It's just hilarious to me. The Empire like scene where remember and you know talking about when Thirsty is that the attorney's name on Empire? Mm-hmm. When he's in the elevator, you know, I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure you guys have probably participated in that activity before. Maybe not. But how can you do it unwillingly? You know what I mean?
We're gonna let you go ahead and just hang yourself out there, Sean. Go ahead, man.
But I'm saying, how can you do that unwillingly?
I don't know, bro. You tell us, man.
I just don't get it. I'm sorry. And I don't know. I just thought that scene was hilarious. And then he was like, "Will you rape me?" And I'm like, "Well, no, you didn't. Forget it."
Sean breaking it down.
There's a stupid scene. Sorry.
Your Honor, is there a question in our new future? Where are you going with
this? It's something you had to get out, man.
I thought it was a stupid, stupid scene. I mean, it made no sense. Just like it didn't make any sense in Empire.
Right, because, I mean, why would you be eating and you didn't want to eat, right, Sean?
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Okay. All right, point made. Nobody,
I just have a question.
They put the chitlins in his face. They didn't make him take the whole dish, right?
Exactly. You know, he was smacking it like Michael Dean eating that sandwich earlier.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to deflect from you. This is your conversation.
Or, yeah, Sean asking so he can figure out how to get it done.
No.
But my thing was, there was a scene, I'm assuming you remember the pilot. There was a scene where I was like, where your girl is telling him, Zeke, I guess his name, he looks like Terrence Trent D'Arby's love child, but he's telling, she's telling him, I'm not interested in you, I don't want you. I mean, we don't know why she hates this guy so much, at least I didn't pick up on that. And they're just crying and crying. I'm like, is it that deep?
Oh, that's that young love, man.
I wasn't crying like that, I mean, I was
disappointed.
Well, how were you crying?
I wasn't crying over a girl like that.
All right, Pimpy.
Y'all gonna tell me y'all was that dramatic over a girl?
I wasn't crying either, but I mean, this is a dramatic movie. It's all hyper reality. Like. But I felt that scene. Actually, I felt that. I was like, man, she dogged his ass out. I wouldn't have did that either, but
Was she going? Is she dropping him to go get with the DJ who could get her famous or something?
Yeah.
Nah. Well, I mean, she was claiming that Zeke didn't have any goals, didn't have any plans. So it's like, all right, what? We get together. Hey, I'm telling you what she said.
But he spent the whole fucking night trying to get in that club. He got goals.
Well, she didn't know that.
Well, then he needs to know.
Well, I think she was referencing the school thing too, right? Like, he wasn't a leader. He didn't stand up and say his poem, and he didn't stand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of feeling. It's like, look, I'm trying to go achieve this. It's like, what the fuck are you trying to do? And I don't need just some dude just ain't doing shit. So
well, how come he didn't say? Why didn't his punk ass say, look, some dude just put a knife to my throat so I could get this record in here to you?
Okay, then what?
Oh, wow. Thank you for what you went through. You almost got killed for me? Oh, yes. I appreciate that.
But, well, I mean, later
in the show, I mean, she gives it up. So, I mean, it worked.
Oh, well, damn. Thanks for that. All right, Dean. Thanks.
Hey,
you already said you were going to watch it.
I didn't say that. I said it's like The Wire. I feel like I have to watch it because everybody's telling me to.
And at that point, Zeke gets to the get down and he sees everything that's popping off there, he finds a purpose and starts moving towards that. And she sees that, and there you go.
So I know what I said earlier, but God forgive me. How graphic is the love scene?
Oh, Lord.
Nothing really.
Kiss me.
Really?
Nothing, Mr. Kelly.
You're not seeing Rosario Dawson, put it that way.
Okay.
All right. So that's the get down. Definitely go check it out. Definitely, definitely is something to watch. All right. We got time for one more thing, I believe. God,
I'm just prepared for you all to use that statement against me in the chat from here on out.
Which one?
Yeah.
How intense was the love scene? I'm ready for y'all, Negroes.
All right. We know you are. Let's see. Briefly, you know, we're hearing this thing about the Olympic swimmer. What was his name? Ryan Lochte. Apparently, he had came out a couple of days ago and said that him and some of his other fellow Olympic swimmers were robbed at gunpoint in Brazil, right?
Blame the Negroes.
And they got away with their life. Come to find out, he was lying. And they actually have video evidence now. And I guess him and his buddies were just drunk or something, and they ripped off a bathroom door and tore up some property or something at a store. And they were confronted by security guards at the gas pumps. And they're saying the security guards pulled a gun on them.
Which is stupid.
And there's... And now a guy who was there as a witness, he is also a translator. He was there... And he says that the swimmers were lying and that there was no robbery and that the security guards did not point their guns at them. The guard pulled his gun out and had it on toward the ground, but he never pulled it out and pressed it on the dudes or anything of that nature. And then this Ryan gentleman, I think today or maybe late yesterday, he released sort of an apology on Instagram. And I read the apology.
He released an explanation.
He actually doesn't. He still is on the narrative that the guns were pointed at his face and he was robbed. Like, I was like, how is he still on that?
I know how, but go ahead.
So, you know, now this whole thing is, you know, it's in the news, obviously, as it should be. And, you know, the Brazilian government, my understanding is, they had one of the swimmers was detained and had to pay like $10,000, $50,000 to some charity to go back to the States. But the Ryan dude, I don't know how he somehow got out of the country, underground swimming network or something. He got out before they could apprehend him. But I guess they want his ass to come back and possibly they may press some charges or something like that, I guess. But this whole thing is, you know, was there some sort of privilege? Is he getting a slap on the wrist is the narrative changing to sort of like, oh, you know, these are just things that happen. You know, these guys, these are good guys, and you know, that sort of thing. And I know in our chat that we mentioned in the previous episode, very much a lot of conversation about, you know, was this white privilege? Would it have been different if one of the black athletes had pulled something like this? What do you think would have happened? So I'm going to go to you, Q. I mean, what do you think about this whole thing? You know, this whole story and the lying, and now, you know, they coming out and everything.
Well, when it first came out, I thought the IOC statement was some bullshit, and I can't say I know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure, having been a black man for 50 years now, that if it had been a black athlete that had done this, no, they wouldn't have put out a statement saying, oh, they're just kids, 32-year-old kids, by the way, to having fun, got out of hand, give them a break. I'm paraphrasing. So, yeah, that made me really angry. It was just like that woman, about 6-7 years ago, who blamed a black man for hijacking her car or something. I can't remember.
Susan Smith?
That was someone that drowned.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, I thought you were talking about that one.
No, there was some woman who made a statement. Well, some woman blamed. I don't like it when white people blame black people falsely for doing shit, and they don't even, and the black people that they're blaming it on don't even exist. Or I should say people of color. That really gets me heated. So I think for the IOC to release that statement, even though justice apparently is being served, I think for the IOC to release that statement is ridiculous.
All right. Sean Hill, what do you think?
The opposite. Does that really surprise anyone? No, I don't think that. I don't think they would have had a separate statement. I think the statement would have been exactly the same. I haven't really been following, so I don't know the particulars. I know they did lie, and I know now they are facing pressing charges or what have you. So I mean, at least that is the takeaway from it, is that that's going to happen. So it's not a different treatment. They look like they are going to be facing some sort of punishment for this. So.
Well, you know, I also wanted to have us talk about sort of the narrative of how this is playing in the media. I think there was a clip that is going around today of Al Roker. Now, what station is he on? Is he on NBC?
NBC. He's on NBC. Okay.
Interesting, because there's a New York Times article calling to task NBC, particularly Matt Lauer. I believe NBC they host the Olympics. Are they ones? Yeah, they're. And so apparently Matt Lauer has done a couple of interviews with this Ryan guy and has never called him on his shit in terms of this incident. And so even the New York Times is sort of questioning, like, a guy supposedly as seasoned as Matt Lauer should have checked my man's credibility and asked him questions about what his story was. And now it's interesting that I hear that Al Roker, who is on NBC, from what I didn't get to see the full clip, so maybe somebody can tell me. I mean, y'all kill me with these pictures. But but even, I guess, Al Roker started getting into it with one of his co-hosts. Did somebody else see that clip and can maybe say what
it was? Billy Bush. Yeah. Billy Bush, who I guess he's an NBC Today Show correspondent or something. He used to be on one of those evening entertainment shows.
What was the gist of their conversation?
From what I remember, go ahead.
Well, it started off with Al Roker breaking down Ryan Lochte's bullshit, talking about everyone he lied to, how he lied. He gave a false statement. He lied to his mother. He lied to the IOC. He lied to the people. He destroyed this gas station. And Billy Bush says, okay, he embellished. And Al Roker was like, pretty much had this nigga, please look. Like, no, he lied. He went back and forth talking about there was no gun, there was this. He's like, well, and then Billy Bush trying to say, well, what he said was, and I'm like, God damn, this dude going out of his way to cover for this guy. Like,
did you see Al where he kept stirring his drink?
Exactly.
He was like, I'm on live TV. I can't. Let me just keep stirring this tea. Let me just keep stirring this tea.
Then he called it it was an untruth or something like that. The white guy and Albert is like, so he lied, and the guy goes, no. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's just like, wow.
Yeah, I kind of think there is a. Do you guys hear that popping noise?
No.
I wonder if it's just on my end. Unfortunately, I apologize to your listeners because you're going to hear what I hear. Real quick, let's take a quick break. We got to cut that out. So we'll take a quick second. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Whoa, I apologize. So we're going to wrap things up. But, yeah, my man with the swimming. I don't know, man. I think it would be different, personally, if it had been that Gabby Union. Is that her name?
No, it's Simone Manuel. Isn't that Simone?
No, wasn't there a girl doing gymnastics or something?
What? Yeah, that's Gabby Douglas.
Gabby Douglas, I'm sorry. If it had been Gabby Douglas, she'd been over. They had ran her. I think it was already going in on her on the thing with the hand on
over
the chest.
Over 4.5, if you ask me.
They were going in on her about what?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, see, I brought that up, and I
Star Spangled Banner.
Didn't I bring that up and get pushed back from y'all? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, not me.
The whole thing. Well, you're not required to put your hand over your heart during the Star Spangled Banner. Just the Pledge of Allegiance. That's
okay.
Just giving that factual information. Now, whether or not she should have, that's something totally different. But you're not required to. I mean, when you go to the ball game or football game, whatever,
right?
When you don't put your hand over your heart during.
But I think our point is, you're making the point. You're not required to put your hand over your heart during the Star Spangled Banner, but you should be required not to go into another country and tear their shit up and then blame it on their people.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one's arguing that or against that.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up.
I'm not arguing against that.
We got a technical situation, so we're going to have to call it here. Ampu, where can they find you online?
Twitter and Instagram at Ampu. And, yeah, that's all I got working on at the moment.
All right. Houston, where can they find you?
You can find me at realqstorm.com. That's real with two E's. I just put up a very current review of Suicide Squad, so I'm on my game.
And that'll be $8 for the show title idea. I take PayPal.
Okay.
Sean Hill, where can I find you?
You can find me on hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. We'll have a review coming up, also a late pass review of War Dogs, and then next week I'll have a review of Hands of Stone, Don't Breathe, and The Mechanic Resurrection. So all of those are coming next week. You can also find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views and Facebook, Sean Hill.
All right, Sean. And we'll be looking out for your new website, iloveremix.com. And with that said.
How's been her? Anyway.
I haven't seen it yet, but I do want to check it out.
Wait, what's the joke about the remix?
I'm sorry, remakes.
Remix.
But with that, ladies and gentlemen, please follow us on Twitter at Podcast Juice. Also, check us out on Facebook, Podcast Juice, and the website, podcastjuice.net. Hey, with that, work it like a job. Mike, get your shit together, bro. We out. Bye.
I see you, Chester.
Wow. Yeah. You didn't. Speaking of late pass, damn, you took a long time to reply to that.
I just saw it. He just put it up today, didn't he?
No, that's been up since last week. Since I think the show went up.
I ain't never left.